Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, well, good morning. If you are newer to our church family, if you've just started attending here, or if this is your first Sunday over the last couple of weeks, then you have no idea actually who I am. My name is Pastor Ben. My wife and I are the lead pastors here. I have been gone for the last 2 weeks in Thailand with our Thailand missions team. That is a missions effort that we do every year. We've got a continuing growing relationship with churches and ministry over there, and we're going to be sharing a little bit about that trip. I'm going to invite the team to come forward. We're going to hear from them this morning. Would you welcome them? I'm a little bit more colorful than my normal Sunday morning. I've got my Aka vest and my Aka handbag. My daughter is wearing her Aka dress. We bought that for her in country. Mary has her flashy Thai pants on this morning. Super comfortable. But we're going to be sharing with you about our trip, not just to give you information or to kind of itch your curiosity, but I want you to hear how God is using what he is doing here to make a difference somewhere else. And you really need to build a bridge conceptually to get to the place where you have an appreciation for what God is doing in your individual life and how he would use that in the life of somebody else. We have a tendency to look at our faith really narrowly and think about just the way that it impacts us and hope for just maybe some growth in that area. But God's design for you is not just for you. The way that he has created you, his plans and purposes for your life are not just for you to somehow enjoy and to find contentment with, but God wants to use you to make a profound impact on the world around you. And he is so interested in doing that he promises to take the worst part of our story, the most difficult part of our experience, and he says, I will bring good out of that for those who love me and who are called according to my purposes. That the promise of God in Romans 8 is to take even the disappointing parts of your story, the embarrassing parts of the story, and that he would bring something good out of that if you would devote yourself to him in love and if you would pursue the plans and purposes that he has for your life. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about our trip. I'm going to introduce my friends to you. This is the team that went with us. I'm going to ask them to give you their name, and then they're going to give you the reason that they went on the trip. Because you might be scratching your head thinking, why would anybody want to do that to begin with? Mission work can either be seen as like an exotic vacation, which it is certainly not, or it can be seen as something that is only for like the select few who can really endure the hardships, and it's not that either. It is an opportunity to say yes to partnering with God in what he is doing in another location, and it really is that simple. And you can live a life on mission, going on missions trips to the other side of the world, and you can live the exact same life on mission by being mission-minded in the context of where you're at. You can do this on a daily basis. God, what are you doing, and how can I partner with you? And so we're gonna look at those things. I've got our team kind of, I gave them assigned seats this morning, because one of the things that you find is when you go on a two-week trip overseas, you develop really close friendships. And a surprising thing was Colton and Mary have kind of become best friends. And I don't know if it was the jet lag that was talking, but when we got here on Friday morning at 12:30 a.m. and we're at DIA and we're walking trying to find our luggage, Colton is like, hey Mary, we should hang out. We should hang out like a lot. We should go out to coffee and go to lunch. And there's something going on there. So. And then Megan, about halfway through the trip, was posting selfies with Annalie here and was like, this is my new best friend, my new BFF. She posted it on Facebook. It's Facebook official that they're basically best friends now. And so I just had them sit in their little new best friend groups. But I'll have them introduce themselves, and they're going to answer the question, why did you go on this trip?
So I'm Megan, I don't really know. When I signed up, I didn't really know why I wanted to go on. He announced that they were going to take a team this year, and I just felt like I had to go back and sign us up. And I know that we have been growing. My husband and I have been growing a lot this last year, and we just want to be a part of every aspect of what this church is a part of. And so it just felt like this time it was time.
Nice. Okay, you're ready. No, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Annalie. I've never gone overseas before. The reason I went on this missions trip is because I felt like this trip would be a big part of my walk with God. And I also had missionary friends there, girls my age. I asked my mom that if I could go, and she said that I should pray. So I've been praying all by myself, and I felt like God called me to go.
Nice. Most of you know this, but Annalie is my daughter. And did your dad ask you to go?
No.
Did he try to bribe you to go?
No.
Right? This is something that she came to us and said, I think that I want to go. And you know, I was like, oh, okay, I got to figure out whether or not I want to do this, right? That's a big step. It's one thing to take other people's family members overseas. It's quite another thing to take your own family members there. You know, if I lose one of them, you know, they're not mine. If I lose her, like, that's a big deal. Come Christmas time at my house. So, no, we were so excited that you went, and I was so very proud of you. And one of the great things for me is I've gone. You guys, if you're a part of our church, that you know, I go at least once a year. We've gone for 7 years, and I got to go and share my family with our Aka family in Thailand. So that was really special. I was proud of you. Really glad that you went. Who are you, and why did you go?
Hi, I'm Colton. I didn't even know that I was going on this trip for like 2 weeks. My wife signed us both up and didn't tell me. I found out through my mom, who said, are you excited to go to Thailand? And I was like, yeah, I didn't know I was going to Thailand, but sure, I am very excited. So I went, because my wife signed me up. But also, it's something that I've been wanting to do now for several years, just go over and be a part of what our church is being a part of. And yeah, just really wanted to experience that, and this year was finally the year.
Finally the year. Hey, I think there's a moral here. If you are married and your spouse goes by the connection counter and there's a sign-up sheet, you might want to just look at the sign-up sheet, just in case you're on it and you might need to know that.
Every year that my son kept going over to Thailand, I thought about it, and I don't know, this year, I had to go.
Yep.
I had to go. So I'll tell more about that later, but I was the first one to sign up.
Yes, you were. What is your name?
Her name's Mary.
My name is Mary.
Her name is Mary. If you guys know Aaron Glassburn, our missionary, who he went on the very first trip with me and went every year with me. And then we finally just said, hey, why don't you just stay there? So we've sent Aaron over there as a missionary. Mary is Aaron's mom. And so that's a really big deal. So as we got to go and connect with our Aka Church family, Aaron got to introduce everybody to his mom, and I got to introduce everybody to my daughter.
I got to really surprise him. He did not know I was coming, and how it was only God, because it was posted, and everybody in the church knew I was going to surprise him, but they posted anyway, and he was so busy, he never looked. And so he didn't know I was coming, so he kind of saw me when I went from in the customs to get my luggage, but I turned my head, and he thought, Mom? But then he goes, nah, no. So he didn't know I was coming, so they went through, and then I came out last, and he goes, Mom!
Everybody else is here trying to think about whether or not that would be a pleasant surprise or like a scary surprise. I think it was a pleasant one. What we're going to do is we're going to share with you the churches that we interacted with and the leaders, because there's no way for us to adequately unpack the whole trip. We had a number of things that we participated in. The team did service projects. I taught at the Aka Bible Seminary a class on organizational management and leadership. And there's so many things that we're a part of over there that we can't highlight all of them. But what we do want to highlight is the ministry partnerships that we continue to grow in and the ones that we created. Because this trip was a trip that really was all about what's going to be new. We have been consistently, year after year, going to Thailand. We work with the Aka Outreach Foundation. We invest in Aka pastors and leaders. We have a sister Aka church up in the northern mountains in northern Thailand outside of Maesalong. And those are things that we always do. But there were new things about this trip that we were adding. We were exploring new increased influence and impact and partnerships, believing that God has greater things than what we're doing even now. Something that we're talking about as a church family, how do we think about impacting the region of Northeast Colorado, not just care what's going on inside of our church? And what's happening is in our mission effort is an expanded view of how can we impact more of the nation of Thailand, not just in this one location and with this one group of people. And so we were exploring those things. And as we go through very quickly this morning, we're going to touch on six different churches and really interactions with leaders that we had. Some of these are places that we did the full service and we did ministries time. Some of these were places that we gathered with the pastor to pray over him and create relationship with. And we're going to kind of go through those things. We're going to highlight some high points. Each one of them is going to be able to share about a specific location and context, but I will tell you that you will have more curiosity after this than will be satisfied by our time speaking today. And so I want to encourage you, find time to meet these people if you don't already know them, and invite them into some type of conversation to just talk about their experience. They will be more than happy to just talk about what God did. Maybe when Colton and Mary decide to go out for lunch and hang out and be best friends, you just invite yourself along, right? And eat your sandwich while you hear them talk about their trip. But take advantage of that. So as we started, we got to Chiang Mai on Friday. We got settled, and by Saturday, what we thought we were going to do is go and join a ministry that was going to a children's home. So we thought we were going to be going to a children's home. We were going to be playing some games and spending some time loving on high-risk, at-youth children. And instead, we ended up going to a village to do a completely different type of ministry. And the team wasn't even really ready for that. We were geared up to go and play with kids, and instead we went to a Karen village. Karen is one of the hill tribes in Thailand, and we went to this village outside of Chiang Mai and went with Pradit, who is the national president for Foursquare Thailand, and we went with a translator and a pastor named Pastor Mi, who's the pastor in that town. And so we went, and we didn't know really what to expect because this wasn't on our agenda. And can I tell you that there are many times that God is going to switch what you thought was your agenda with a divine appointment. Embrace those opportunities. Embrace the opportunities to partner with what God did. Because what we did is we ended up going into this village, and we were asked to go to the home of somebody who had requested prayer for healing. And it was a really significant moment, and it set the tone for our whole trip, because the mom who had requested the prayer, she wasn't a believer. And the son who was in need of prayer for healing, he wasn't a believer. He had been in a motorcycle accident. He had a brain injury that was going to require surgery. He had lost 70% of the vision in his right eye. He was having problems seeing. And the mom had invited this pastor and this team that was coming to come in and to pray for healing. And they weren't believers. They're not Christian. The home's not Christian. Their worldview would be more in line with kind of a Buddhist worldview. And in that worldview, you don't pray for healing. You endure the difficulties in life, and you try to live a good life so that in your next life, you get a better station in life. And so it's about where you end up in life is based on how you lived your last life, and so you just endure hardship and kind of grin and bear it, and you try to get, hit the lottery in your next life. That's the worldview in a nutshell. And so it was really significant that they asked us to come in and pray. And so we weren't prepared for that, right? We didn't know what we were doing. We've got no language. We've got no relationship. And so we're just kind of there. And so we come into this this person's home. And Pastor Pradit asked us to just share testimonies. And so our team began to share testimonies of how God has healed them and been a part of expressing that in their life. And so each one of them began to share, this is something that God healed, or this is a time where God answered that prayer. Mary shared specifically on the times where she's been in church and has had an issue with her knees or with her hip and has heard God say, if you go to the prayer station, I will heal you. And she's gone and she's responded to that invitation from the Lord and she's been healed. And so she shared that testimony that on three different times, that was her experience. And so the team was sharing testimonies of healing, not from the mission field to you guys, but about what he's already done in our church. And it was to encourage this young man. And so the man sat and he listened to these testimonies. And then the pastor said, all right, Pastor Ben, will you now tell him the gospel? And I'm like, what? Right? You would think that I would be ready for that. But remember, I was supposed to be playing soccer with little kids up in a village. This was not on the agenda. And he doesn't have a worldview that involves Jesus. He doesn't have a framework for what we would even start as conversations of how you would lead somebody to Christ. And so there was kind of this, well, I'm on the spot. Lord, you better come up with something here because I don't have really anything to share. And I felt like the Lord gave me a way to talk about the physical healing that God brings in our life, that is a demonstration of God's desire to do a spiritual healing, to heal our hearts and to heal our souls. And so I just kind of wove this story of a God who loves us so much that he would do this outward expression of healing because he really wants to do something of an inward work in us. And the translator kind of went back and forth, and then Pastor Pradit began to have a conversation with him. And there was a point in the conversation that as I was listening that Pradit was saying something, and then the young man was repeating after him. And I thought, it sounds to me like he's leading him in prayer. It sounds to me like this young man is getting saved. And what the result of that time was is that our thought was we're going to go play games with little kids, and instead we ended up in this man's home in a village that we really didn't have any intention to being at. And the young man in the picture on the far right, he gave his life to Jesus. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior as a result of that. It was an incredible, incredible thing. And he did that before we prayed for him for healing. That was his first step. And so then the team began to pray and to lay hands on him. And his vision went from being 30% to what he said. He had 70 or 80% of his vision by the time we were done praying. And then the Lord gave him really a word or a promise that said, just as the eyes of your heart have been opened to who Jesus is, that as you begin to see Jesus as your Savior more clearly, you will also begin to see more clearly until your eye is fully restored. And so that's the promise that he had received out of that. And that was, like, that's not on the itinerary, right? That wasn't on the agenda. But God has oftentimes little detours of our plans that are opportunities for us to partner with him and to be a part of really a divine appointment that changes things. And that set the tone for our trip. It was a pretty incredible thing. You know, they had to minister in the village. They weren't planning on that. But that set the tone for our trip. And so we went on that Saturday night. We hadn't even been really in country for even 48 hours yet, and that's how things began. And then from there, it just began to kind of take off. So the next day, we were at the Four Square Church in Chiang Mai. Pradit, the president of Thailand Four Square, he was there hosting us, and this was the first time we knew that this was coming. They were all geared up and ready for this. The night prior, the team had given their testimonies as part of the service in the Karen Village after the time of ministry in the home, but Annalie had gotten out of it. She was not ready on that, but on the Sunday morning, I said, you have to do it this week. And so I want you to share about that. You gave your testimony at the Thai church. Tell us a little bit about what that testimony was and how that experience was.
So my testimony was about how, like, God answers our prayers even if we're children. I felt excited, a little nervous, but I ended up feeling really comfortable, and I ended up rocking it.
Ended up rocking it. She did. And your testimony was about how God answers our prayers even when we're children. And so you shared a testimony of how God had answered a prayer for healing up in Power Connection that our Power Connection kids had prayed for, and it happened. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got a chance to encourage the church there with her testimony, but her testimony was about what God's doing here, but not what God's doing in here with you and I, with all the old people in the church, but what God is doing in the young people in our church. And it's so important to recognize that, because oftentimes we send missionaries, we send teams, and we're hoping that they're going to come back and have some kind of story that gives us hope. Right? What did you see? Because there's a longing in us to see God move. And you need to know that when teams go out, the story that they take of encouragement and hope to where they end up, it's what God's doing in the place that they were sent from. And so it's so important to recognize that the faith was raised in those that we were ministering to because of what God is doing in you. Because of what God is doing in this place. And it was such a neat thing. At the end of that service, right, we had a ministry time, and we had people who came forward, and here's the two things that they responded to. There was a whole group of people, the larger group, in that church who came forward, not for needs in their lives, but they wanted courage and boldness to share their faith. It was a really interesting thing that as there was these two opportunities to respond, to come forward and to be prayed for healing, or to come forward and be prayed for courage and boldness in sharing their faith, the larger majority of people who responded wanted to be a stronger man of God, woman of God, as a testimony to those around them. And then there was a whole group that came forward for prayer, and most of our team was a part of praying for healing. Annalie, you were part of that. Tell us a little bit about that part.
So we prayed, and like first we prayed like in the spirit, and then we prayed again for the specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron said that in like one of the books of the Bible, I don't remember which one, where it was like Jesus like prayed twice to receive healing. So if it didn't work the first time, it worked the second time.
Mm-hmm. So you guys began to learn about how to pray.
Yeah.
And then to be consistent in that. Right? And you guys saw results, didn't you?
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. So if you want to know a little bit more about those type of results, because that's what we start leaning into, like, oh, what was it? You'll have to talk to them about it later. And they'll share with that. We went from our time at the Foursquare Church in Chiang Mai, and then we went from there on Tuesday up to Doi Chong. That's an Akha village. We've had relationship with that pastor. His name is Sala Agang, and he is a really, really great high-capacity leader. He would be a district supervisor in our type of thoughts. So he's not just a pastor of a church, but he pastors of churches. He's planted churches. He's a really incredible man. And so we went up there to spend time with him. They hosted us. We got to spend the night in the village, and this was a really significant opportunity for us. And Mary's going to share just a little bit about Doi Chong and why it was so meaningful for her.
Well, Alina went with us, and I'll tell you about Alina. My son is dating her and going to get married, and she's so sweet. Oh, she's an Akha. And that's another reason why I went over there. I had to meet her.
We've had so many secrets that we've had to be trying to keep. We've had to try to keep the secret that Mary was going. But then this other one, right? Aaron has a significant friend. And they have been exploring that significance since last January. And she's just a really incredible a really incredible Akha lady. And so we went to Doi Chong.
Yeah, I had, you know, I had questions about it because he's a missionary. He's the missionary, and she's not, but she loves the Lord. She wants to serve with him. And mm-hmm. I had to find that out because that's a big deal.
Yep.
So anyway, we went up to her village, and she was born up there in the village, and so was Ajay. He is at the Aka Foundation. He started the Aka Foundation that we're really involved in, and that's where my son is working right now. So she went up to the village with us, and she cooked supper for us. It takes 4 hours up there to cook a supper. Any time they cook, it takes that long because they don't have the equipment we do. And so that was really a blessing. 2 months ago, Aaron and Alina went up to the village. Her grandma is still living, and she's up there at the village. And she was really sick, and so they got on their scooters, and they rode up to the village. And when they got there, she is with, what's the religion?
Buddhism.
Buddhism. Yeah. She is of the Buddha religion. But all of a sudden, she got mad, and she goes, because she was going to have to pay money for a sacrifice again. And she said, I'm not going to pay money no more for a sacrifice. And that really surprised them. So that gave them the opportunity to say, you know, we have Jesus, and would you like to meet him? And he doesn't, you don't have to do a sacrifice to Jesus. And Aaron said she thought about it and thought about it, and he was just sitting there praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Pretty soon she said, yeah, I want Jesus. And so they led her to the yeah. Lord. And then that night after they had supper for us, it was an Aka meal. It was very good. And then we got to go into the room and pray with her.
Yep.
So that was so fun. And to why I went back to pray 3 times is, well, I didn't know what to expect, but these mountains are hard to climb. And it's a good thing I went back there because I couldn't have climbed them.
Yep.
So my hip, my knees, and I climbed them. But you guys were praying for strength. I know you were
yep.
for me because I endured it. This village is the one, coffee. This is their product that they have up there. So it was fun meeting Alina, and I hope that she'll come here someday. And you can meet her.
Yep. If you guys want to get all the juicy details, Aaron will actually be back here in October, and he'll be with us from kind of mid-October through the beginning of January. And so you can connect with Aaron, be just like, hey, I'm so interested in your missions work. Tell me about this girl. Just saying, like, if you're interested in that. But that was a really significant moment, really, for him. Because he got a chance to introduce his people to her people in the village and in that place. And it was just, we were so excited to be a part of that. We came out of Doi Chong, went back to Chiang Rai, and we were interacting with the Aka Outreach Foundation. We did a number of things that week. We don't have any time to talk about that. We want to hit the ministry context. And so after that time, we went up to Mesalong. That's where our Aka Village sister church is. That's where we consistently go every year. Pastor Aga and Pastor Joe were there, and we had a great time being a part up there in that place. The village was really, really fun. Paul and Lori went up with their kids, and so Annalie got a chance to visit with her missionary friends. Did you know that my kids have their own missionary friends? They're not just my friends, right? So we've had such a growing relationship in that place that my missionary friends all have kids that are my kids' age. And so when they talk about going and visit their missionaries, it's not even the missionaries that we talk about, it's the little kids. It's the next generation of kids who are going to impact the world for Jesus. It's a really, really fun thing So we spent time in the village, ministered in the church there. We had a great time of praying. But this was a really fun place to be because this was truly like a family partnership. When we go to that church, it's not like we're showing up and we're just like special guests and we do our thing and we leave. We're actually going to our family. This was the only service that we did where the church that was hosting us participated in all the parts too. So when there was the time for testimony, we were giving testimonies, but they were giving testimonies. When Megan was singing and doing a special, they were doing a dance. And so there were all of these components where we did church life together. It was really significant, and it was a great time. And one of the things that I was the most thankful for was Colton's energy, because all of our missionary kids were like, come play with us. And we were so tired. And Colton just took one for the team, right? And he just went out and played with them, and they led him all over the mountains, down paths that he said that he couldn't even fit. He was just kind of scrunching down and going for it. I was so thankful that he was there, but he had a great time. The village was always a significant place. But we want to highlight the two new places that we were building relationship as well. And so when we got done with ministry in the village on Sunday afternoon, we packed up and we left, and we went to a new village called Tatong. And in Tatong, there is a man named Pastor Noah. He's pastored his church for, I think it was 29 years, I think he has been there. And he's a Foursquare pastor. And he's been in that place. And when we were there, we went to encourage him. We went to meet him. And we had a chance to pray over them. And Megan is going to share a little bit of just the significance of that time.
So one of the cool things was that every time we would interact with the pastor, we would have an opportunity to pray for them. And they would, you know, say, like, these are the things that our church needs, these are the things my family needs prayer for, and we would get to pray for them for those specific things. And so in the midst of praying with Pastor Noah for the things that he had asked for prayer for, I got a really clear picture in my head of us, all of us, standing around the church building with our hands on it, praying for protection for the church. And then also I had to stop what I was praying for and pray for protection over Pastor Noah and his wife. And it was like a very clear picture of what we needed to do with instructions on how we needed to pray, how that church needed prayer.
So Megan said, hey, I feel like I'm sensing something. I feel like the Lord has given me a picture and just kind of presented it. And I said, all right, let's do it. And she was kind of surprised. I think she was surprised with how quick I pulled the trigger on that. But when you have an opportunity to partner with something that the Lord's leading you into, you need to pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. You need to just do that. And so we as a team responded to that, had Paul, our missionary, kind of convey that to Noah. And we spent a significant amount of time praying through that church and around that church and over Pastor Noah and his family. And there were some things that Aaron had heard the Lord speak to him that really confirmed that. But that was a significant spiritual moment. And it was one that was initiated not by the, you know, Pastor Ben, not by our missionaries, but just by part of our team being sensitive to the Lord speaking to them. And it's important to highlight that because we have a tendency at times to believe for God to speak to others about the needs around us and to not necessarily anticipate him speaking to us. And can I tell you that the Lord wants to speak to you, he wants to use you, and you can cultivate an ear and a sensitivity in your heart to hear from the Lord and then to step out in kind of courage and boldness and take a step of faith and see him do something significant.
I just wanted to say that that was the only interaction with the church that we had that time that where we weren't in a church setting. We didn't have a meeting to go to. It was just, we just showed up on, I don't know what day it was. We showed up, we had coffee, they asked for prayer, and, you know, it was like an amazing prayer time, an amazing time of just getting to interact and just build a relationship with Pastor Noah, who we had never met before.
Yep. And again, you know, that prayer time, not on the itinerary, right? We weren't on. We weren't ready for a church service. We were just going to drink coffee and meet a new Akka friend who is a Foursquare friend as well. And so, man, God will surprise you if you are open to surprises. We went from there and went and stayed in a city named Phong. And then after that, connected with another Foursquare village called Mwenle. And the pastor there is Pastor Timothy. He's been in that community for over 20 years and has been just faithfully building that church. And that church was, I think that we would all agree that that church was the most fun. It was an incredible church. They had a Monday night service because we were just coming through, and he said, hey, you guys are coming, let's have a service. They had a Monday night service that started at 8 p.m., and people showed up for it. I know, it's crazy, but it was really awesome. Colton, if you would just kind of share a little bit of your thoughts about that service and kind of how that service went.
Yeah, so like you said, it was also the last village that we stopped at, and it was on a Monday night. We really honestly didn't know what we were going to do, but then Pastor Timothy said, yeah, we're going to have a church service, and it was already late, and we're like, oh my goodness, but then we get there, and the energy level is just through the roof. Everybody, yeah, they're just excited, and we're kind of thinking, I was personally thinking, like, I'm ready for bed, but no, it was awesome, just an awesome experience to share their excitement and their energy that they had, and the time of prayer, I know specifically for me, was very important, because Paul and I had talked a little bit about what I should share at that church, because I had kind of shared two different testimonies throughout the trip and everything, and Paul said, I really think you should share the first one, because a lot of people, a lot of the younger teens in this church have experienced the same thing that you kind of went through as a teenager. So I shared that, and I just really felt like it was a God thing for Paul to come and say that to me, because the response for the teenage age kids that were looking to just do a complete 180 and serve God wholeheartedly was amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome for me. And everybody at the church was just like, wow, like, we need that kind of energy all the time.
Yeah. You guys know, like, when you're in a worship setting and you're just like, whoa, like, that was incredible, right? We have those here oftentimes in our time of worship. You're just like, man, I felt the presence of the Lord. And there's just like this joy as a result of it. It was like that, only put us all in a smaller box and make it really loud. It was incredible. And it was just, the whole place was full of joy and response to the Lord. And here's the thing that's really significant. So we get done with that, and we go back, and we're going to spend time praying for Pastor Timothy. And a lot of times when you are in a different context where you see how different they live and you see the needs that they have, your expectation is that their prayer request is going to be for those things, right? I want to feel better in my body. I want to be more comfortable. I want life to be a little bit more easy. But what we found is that's not the desire of their heart. In each church setting that we were in, here's the things that they wanted. They wanted to see the power of God demonstrated. They wanted to receive more joy. They wanted boldness and courage to share their faith. They wanted things that really have spiritual and eternal significance. Those were the things that they were hungry for. And in this church specifically, Pastor Timothy said, man, what we want is we want more joy. We want more of God's joy. And I was thinking, bro, you've got all of God's joy. You've got a market cornered. I need some of that. I need more of that joy to take home with me. You got joy to spare, bud. But that is the hunger of his heart. And can I tell you that the things that you desire God to do in your life, he will do. And as he is experiencing the joy of the Lord, which Scripture says is our strength, and Scripture says that when we experience the presence of God, that in his presence is the fullness of joy, that is happening in that church. And they have a hunger for more of it. And can I tell you that God's going to answer that? That there's going to be, as there's an increased desire for more of God, God says, yeah, I'm going to give you more of me. And what a great reminder for you and I to be hungry about the right things. To be hungry about the things that have eternal value and the things that give rise to our faith and fill us with joy, that we would respond really in turn. And that was one of the things that as we asked these pastors and asked these churches, how can we be praying for you? What can we partner with you in? It was those types of things that they had a desire to see happen.
He asked how many wanted in that church to come up that wanted to be in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, my mouth dropped because there was probably 25 people that came up and wanted prayer to go into ministry. That just really, that was a joy to my heart to see that that's what they wanted to do.
Yep. And that was really our experience, that as we were looking to partner with what God was doing, he was raising up people who were responding to the opportunity to be used by him. God, I want to be used by you. I want to be used in some way to affect the kingdom of God. I want to be used to make an impact on the community around us. And that that resonates with us, doesn't it? Because that's what we're about as a church family. We want to launch leaders. We want people to find the plans and purposes of God for their life, and we want them to just run full on into those things. And so it's a great reminder that what God is doing here and cultivating in us, it's an extension when we go someplace else. He continues to do that type of work and that type of thing. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I want to give I want to pray for you guys. You know, one of the things that each church that we were a part of, each leader that we interacted with, asked us to be praying and contending for them. But we've asked them to do the same thing. Did you know that each one of those places is praying for you today? Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, because we're ahead. I won't get into how the time-space continuum works as far as when you travel. But needless to say, like, they're ahead in time. But those places are all praying for you. They have a hunger and a desire to see you become all that God has designed you to be. The joy that they have, they want to see you have. The hope that they have, they want to see you have. Everything that we would hope to take and give them as an extension of our church, each one of those ministry places has the same desire for you, and they're contending for you. They're contending for you. And just like we get encouragement from stories of missionaries or ministry leaders when they've gone to a place and they come back and say, man, God did this. Those stories of what God is doing here in you and in this place, that's what we took to them as the points of encouragement and raising their levels of faith. And God does that. Our story, your story, it's so important to share what God is doing in you, even the places that are challenging. And to receive encouragement one from another as we get to bear one another's burdens and encourage one another daily as Scripture instructs us to. Lord, we pray that you would give us a rising faith. Lord, not just to hear of what you've done in the lives of others, and not just to be encouraged that you are moving in other places, Lord, but that there would be a faith that is risen in us to believe for you to use our story in that way. Lord, that each one of us would be used by you. And God, there's a promise in your word that says even the places of our story that are embarrassing, the places that are scandalous, Lord, the places where we have failed, the places that have been difficult, your word says that you work all things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, that if we would pursue you with all of our hearts, and if we would move into the plans and the purposes that you have for us, that even the worst part of our stories get redeemed and something good comes out of that. And Lord, would you give us that type of rising faith, that type of rising expectation that you would use us? And give us a heart, Lord, not just for the villages in Thailand, but Lord, give us a heart for this village. Give us a heart for this place. And give us a growing expectation that you would use each one of us, even today, even in this coming week, to make a difference here. And Lord, that we would be open to divine opportunities, Lord, that deviate from our itinerary and are things that we hadn't planned and weren't really prepared for. but become opportunities of invitation to partner with you. And Lord, may we be willing to share our faith even when we're not sure how we're going to do that. May we have a boldness and a courage even when we're not sure whether or not we have the right goods to do it. Lord, that there would be a rising expectation in us that you're going to move and that you're going to answer, and that if you would answer the prayers of even the children in this place, that you would answer our prayers as well. Lord, that you would give us that type of expectation and that type of heart to be used to impact the village that we're a part of, Lord, whether that's Sterling or whether that's Fleming or Marino or Pete's, Lord, any of the surrounding communities that we find ourselves a part of, that we would believe that you would use us to make an impact, even as you've made an impact through us to the other side of the world. Give us that type of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a couple action steps that I want to encourage you with. And the first one, it's going to be a lot. You're going to have to snap a picture of this. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but October is set aside in our nation. It's set aside as it's Clergy Appreciation Month, or it's Pastor Appreciation Month. And what I'd like you to do for this month of October is I would like you to pick one of these places, either the Karen Village or the Foursquare Church in Chiang Mai or one of the Akka Village's churches or Mesa Long, and commit in the month of October to pray for that church and to pray for the pastors of that place. And maybe that would be Pastor Me, or maybe that would be Pradit, the president of Foursquare Thailand, or maybe that would be Pastor Aga or Pastor Joe, but that you would begin to bear their burdens before the Lord, that you would contend for their churches to be healthy and vibrant and growing, and then begin to ask the Lord, God, how can I support them in some other way? And maybe God gives you a crazy idea that you've got to come and bring to Pastor Ben and say, hey, man, I was praying. What do you think about this? And we begin to explore the possibilities of what God might do in and through us in another avenue, in a different expression. But choose a place to begin to pray and to begin to really to wedge your heart to. And then number two, this has to do with just being really practical. Consider what way God would use you to make an impact on your village. How can God use you this week to bring hope or to foster joy, to meet practical needs? What can he do with you? How can he use even the embarrassing part of your story to maybe encourage somebody else in the hope that Jesus brings? And then pray for a courage and a boldness like our friends over there. Man, God, give me a courage and a boldness to share my faith. Because he'll do that. He'll answer that. He'll meet us here and he'll impact our community in the exact same way. And then just one last thought, be praying. This isn't the last trip to Thailand. We go at least once a year. There's going to be another opportunity to sign yourself up or to sign your spouse up without them knowing. But begin to just ask the Lord, you know what, God, maybe I need to go next time. Maybe I need to go next time. You know, if Annalie can go, maybe I can go. If Mary can go, maybe I can go. That there would be a desire in you to maybe go on a grand adventure with Jesus and see what story you come back with, but also to see what story that you bring with you that becomes an encouragement for others. Amen? Amen. Let's go out singing. Would you stand with us?